It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Brother Deacon Asa tells me that both screams are hot like the dumpster fire atop the deck of the USS Trump Tannic, Rear Admiral Kincaid. Sinking the ship to own the libs.
Sinking the ship to own the libs.
Since January 20th, 2017. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. It is the 26th day of November 2019. We are in the final days before Thanksgiving 2019. All across the fruited plain, cooks are beginning to fret. Some of them, being highly organized, are not the least bit bothered because they started cooking weeks ago. Months, perhaps. Who knows? And somewhere outside D.C. now, a pair of turkeys that were used as political props are hoping that, well, I don't know how much turkeys hope, but they're going to be on their way to the Virginia Polytechnic Institute in Blacksburg, Virginia, where they're going to be part of some sort of interactive turkey display, having been pardoned today by the pardoner-in-chief. Pardoner. Where have I heard? Wait, wasn't that one of the really slimy characters in Chaucer's Canterbury Tales? Wasn't he one of the not particularly nice characters? The wife of Bath tells all the dirty stories and everything, but wasn't the pardoner one of the jackasses? Correct me if I'm wrong, ad hoc horn research department. Anyway. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and yes, indeed, it is Titanic, Trump-tanic Tuesday here at the Horn, and it is the last Trump-tanic Tuesday for the month of November 2019. I remain amazed at how just it seems only yesterday that I was talking about, well, today is the most beautiful day of 2019 thus far. God, that may have been April or something. And now here we are. But here we are together. And that's what matters the most. And every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. So thanks go out this evening to Ruth and Melton and to Peter and to Michael and Madison. Thank you, all four of you, so very, very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program and along with the other subscribers helping to knock out about, a quarter of the month's funding needs here at the Horn. Thank you so very kindly. We are in the midst of fundraising free radio and will be for the remainder of the month. Thanks to all of you. And not once have you had to put up with an ad hustling flooring or vacuum cleaners or buildings or flooring or mattresses or any of that stuff. Because we don't do capitalism here. Not at all. And it makes this, I think, a little bit more straightforward program. So, yes, every program here begins with thanks, and thanks indeed to our subscribers for the 26th day of the month. Now, it is Trumptanic Tuesday. And a program reminder for the remainder of the week, tonight and Wednesday night will both be two-hour programs because the third hour is actually the Molloy program, so we shut off at about 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, and then I get all the equipment turned around and do the hour of the Molloy program over at Progressive Voices at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. I'll encourage all of you to join in for the conversation over at Progressive Voices. Do please listen in via Progressive Voices. It's great when they see that that Molloy's numbers kick ass, even when Mike's not there. Mike, Kathy, and Molly having gone on Thanksgiving holiday, and I hope they're having a marvelous time. So, where do we begin this evening? Well, let's begin by acknowledging the chat room. Sparky tells me he's got the first fire of the season going in the fireplace insert there in Northern California, seeing how it was 38 degrees there at Shea Sparky earlier today. He couldn't fold that. Although he is a talented third-stage guild navigator, he could not fold space around those 38 degrees. And so this evening he's not folding space at all. He's not going to be, because it's probably right chilly in the man cave. And so, but he's there. Longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky is there on the job in the chat room. And if you'd like to be part of it, well, run on over to headon.live. Click on chat room. If you don't already have a screen name and a password, pick one out. We're not particular. And jump in. And early arrivers Anatole and Squeaky will be happy to see you, and they will greet you merrily. Yes, indeed. Come on by. The merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia extravaganza conversation that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live will be as much so as it ever is. Been kind of a busy day here. A lot of running around. Ferg had a follow-up appointment after his oral surgery of early last week. And we've got another appointment tomorrow. They're just trying to get things knocked out before the holidays start because it's just so damned hard to get anything done between Thanksgiving and New Year's. Just ask Congress. Let's see. Ralps with a note. Let me just say, Ralps. I will send you information. Okie doke. And hopefully that'll sort things out. Thank you, Ralphs. Well, that's got to be a good thing in a place like Northern California. Sparky reporting that the rain is starting there. I don't know if we're going to hear from Lady B this evening, but it looks like the weather has gotten really, really interesting. As in snowy, very snowy. Up a mile high or so in the greater Denver area. Of course, I know that Lady B, as well as our buddy Kevin, is in Colorado Springs. Our pal Johan, who got us started last night, he's on the Colorado Front Range. So, you know, bundle up, be warm. Yeah. And I guess this... we're supposed to set awful weather records for Thanksgiving this week. Thank goodness that climate change is just a cruel Chinese hoax. Even though the UN has released a report that says that the major polluters of the world are doing a piss-poor job at meeting their greenhouse gas reduction goals. And in point of fact, if you're talking about the United States and China, the two largest polluters in the world, well, we're going backwards. Yeah, we're producing more greenhouse gases. And for those of us who care about the ability of human life to exist on planet Earth, that makes getting the monstrosity in the Oval Office out on or before November the or January the 20th, 2021, all the more important. I mentioned Thanksgiving and the Thanksgiving turkey pardon. We got an attempted history lesson today from Nitwit Nero. He got just about all of it wrong. But oh well. It's monumentally stupid. So, it being a day for noting manifestations of titanic intellect, well, why shouldn't we enjoy it? Yeah, it's the presidential turkey pardon. And I guess in terms of turkey pardoning history, George H.W. Bush was the first one to issue an official turkey pardon, although John F. Kennedy pardoned unofficially a turkey during his presidency, and Harry S. Truman pardoned a Christmas turkey. Oh, the detail. I think this is what is meant by the word trivia. And generally speaking, the turkey pardon, the turkey ceremony, are light-hearted affairs. And generally not too terribly politicized. Eek! I mentioned that Johann's on the front range, and I got a photograph from George Rusty, who's also on the front range. Yeah, that looks like about a foot of snow covering up what appears to be in the general shape of a Jeep vehicle. Yeah, and I guess that stuff's headed toward us. Careful about all that shoveling, and stay warm. But anyway, yeah, the turkey pardon's kind of a lighthearted affair, not terribly political. And, but Nitwit Nero, of course, well, he had to make it political. And remember, Nitwit Nero always gets two scoops of ice cream. Two scoops. So naturally, he got two turkeys, too. Jesus. Well, let's check in on all the fun today.
Turkeys. Fun fact, it's sponsored by the Turkey Lobby, because of course it is. Here's the president.
Each and every one of you, a very happy Thanksgiving. It's going to be a great Thanksgiving. We're glad to be joined today by representatives.
Oh, there it was.
It's David Rouser and Jason Smith and a man who's done, and I have to say, they are warriors. They have all been great warriors. Mark Meadows, thank you very much. The three of you, please stand up. They are warriors and great people. And Deb, thank you very much for being here. Thank you. Thanks also to the president of the National Turkey Federation, Joel Brandenberger, and its chairman, Kevin Dowdy, who's here with his family and his wife, Jan. Where is Kevin? Jan, thank you very much. Please stand up for what you do. He's also the head of Butterball, chairman of Butterball. That's the biggest there is. Great job, and we appreciate your involvement. Thank you very much. As we gather this week with loved ones across our beautiful land, we give thanks to God for the many gifts that he has bestowed upon us.
Like children in cages on the southern border. Sure. Like the Kurds being slaughtered by the Turks. Because God. We give thanks. We give thanks. We give thanks for the Constitution that I'm personally shredding.
Today we also come together to honor.
You know, it's probably best, him being in the hands of the goddess of irony and all, that he not, I repeat, not, use the phrase come together. No. And I'm not saying that because I think it's a moral affront to the to the Beatles or anything, but it just brings images of, you know, one of those porn stars or Playboy bunnies spanking his jiggling adipose behind with a rolled up copy of Forbes and telling him, "Bad billionaire, bad. You've been very bad." No, so don't use that phrase anymore there, Chlamydia Claudius. We're trying to keep dinner down here. Kevin in Colorado Springs, who said things are winding down there, but they got a good 4 to 6 inches of snow just north of downtown Colorado Springs. Still have gusting winds, but hearing the program fine over the internet stream. Yay! That means you can't hear the howling wind. We'll have to gin up some howling. The howling winds haven't gotten here yet. They're on the way, but... Does that help? Does that help some? And anyway, Kevin pointing out the two turkeys for Trump. How fitting. And he's a two turkey-sized guy.
The beautiful feathered friend to the noble turkey. And that's a beauty.
Turkey. He says it just the way he says the name of the country. Turkey. Maybe he could name one of them Recep and the other one Erdogan.
It said that
they could call either one of them boss or nasty.
Abraham Lincoln was the first president to spare a Thanksgiving turkey.
He wasn't.
At the request of his son. In 1947, President Harry Truman accepted the first annual national.
Well, I mean, kind of, yeah. It wasn't an official act. It's just that, well, I think it was Tad Lincoln developed a fondness for the bird. Don't be creepy about it. Now quit that. Important and deep philosophical question coming from Brother Deacon Asa. Is it still considered pardoning if the pardoner is dumber in the dome than the turkey is in the gizzard? Good way to work gizzard into the program there, Brother Deacon Asa. Although I hesitate to say that this is probably the only radio program in which the word gizzard has been used this evening or today, because I'm sure there's, you know what I'd like to do? What do I do with the gizzard? Well, ma'am, those are part of the general thing that's referred to as the giblets. So what you do is you take all your spare turkey fat and the parts that you're not going to cook, I mean, not going to roast, like the neck and the gizzard and the liver and the heart, and you put them in a pan, put them in a saucepan, and let them just simmer for a while, and it'll make you some lovely, lovely broth. And then you cut once they're cooked, you cut them up real fine, and that's the beginnings of your giblet gravy. I don't know about your Thanksgiving table, but there's never enough giblet gravy. No. Yum.
Thanksgiving turkey. In the decades that followed, presidents from Kennedy to Reagan would show mercy. See? Wow. That's a strong bird.
And because he's a chicken shit, you might recall that other presidents have been photographed in fairly close proximity to the turkey. But Nitwit Nero is a good 20, 30 feet away because he's, you know, there was the incident with the bald eagle. And then yesterday there was the incident with Conan the comic insult. No, the Conan the heroic army attack dog. He didn't get anywhere near that animal either. The man, he's freaked out by animals, which really, okay, you know, I'm not expecting him to sit down next to a basket and tootle up a cobra or anything. I wouldn't do that either. But who doesn't love dogs? Who doesn't want to? Who won't take a moment to pet a nice kitty cat? Or walk up and speak to a bird in a cage. Or spend a few moments letting one's blood pressure reduce by simply looking at a fish going back and forth in a tank. Not comb over Claudius. No, hell no. Not him. He doesn't want to be anywhere near the animal kingdom. Just like he doesn't want to be anywhere near armed conflict. He is all the way down to the soles of his shoes and the ends of his toenails a miserable coward. That's all. He's just a coward. He's afraid of animals. He's afraid of germs. He's afraid of military service. Hell, he won't even let melanoma stand nearer than 3 feet to him. And we're finding out now that he's spending all of his time in the residence portion of the White House because he's all paranoid about the staff in the Oval Office. Which in its own right is kind of hilarious because it was the staff in the residence that was on hand when he made the infamous perfect phone call on July the 25th in which he tried to bribe the president of Ukraine into telling lies about another American citizen, which is about as impeachable as you can get. With a note, subject line, Mark Meadows, Ron in Raleigh says, Mark Meadows is a North Carolina tosspot that will kiss Trump's ass to maintain a grip on power. This motherfucker can make the most lighthearted occasion into a grim funeral dirge. I heard that melanoma got heartily booed at her speaking occasion. I almost feel sorry for this woman, but not quite. She always looks like her feet hurt. Well, there was a moment here with the turkey ceremony where she turned and she posed and she did that little model wiggle and she did that thing with her mouth. I think at this point in time, having shot so many centerfolds and nude spreads and whatnot, it's almost second nature to her. Remember, Melanoma Trump is the first presidential spouse ever to have accepted money in exchange for removing her clothing for the sexual gratification of absolute strangers by their thousands and tens and hundreds of thousands. The more you know. But like Ron, yeah, you almost feel sorry for her, but you pull up short at almost when you remember that she, too, helped peddle the filthy racist birther conspiracy theory. Yeah. Get back to the Rose Garden. No roses in sight.
Birds. But it was George H.W. Bush who first issued an official pardon. In keeping with that tradition, today I will issue a pardon to a pair of very handsome birds, Butter, and his alternate Bread. That's true. Look at you. Their names were chosen by the students of Harold's Christian Academy in North Carolina, great state. Bread and Butter were raised in Tar Heel State by farmer Wellie Jackson, who's here with us with his wife, Tara.
Having a little trouble with the teleprompter at this point. In Tar Heel State. You know, Trump's so cool that he doesn't use English articles.
Great job. Great job. Thank you very much. Thankfully, Bread and Butter have been specially raised by the Jacksons to remain calm under any condition, which will be very important because they've already received subpoenas to appear in Adam Schiff's basement on Thursday.
In Adam Schiff's basement. Curiously, the hearings were held in the Longworth House office building and not in the basement. I'm rather familiar with the place. You don't have to go to the basement to get to the room where the the House Intelligence Committee meets, or the Ways and, I think they use the Ways and Means Committee room because it was bigger. But there it is. Yeah, granted, it's a cheap, corny laugh line. But the politicization of an otherwise benign event. Maybe, why not go all the way, Nitwit Nero? Tell the turkeys you want the full skinny on the Bidens from them too. Jesus, jackass.
True. Hundreds of people have. It seems the Democrats are accusing me of being too soft on turkey. But bread and butter, I should note that unlike previous witnesses, you and I have actually met. It's very unusual.
Yeah, because he's never met any of the witnesses. God damn. He's trying to enjoy. But it's a hand-picked audience of maggots, so they're laughing politely. Why the hell not? Clap, you bastards!
In any event, I expect this pardon will be a very popular one with the media. After all, turkeys are closely related to vultures. I don't know if I like that line, but there is a little truth to it. But today, after the birds...
Yeah, that's right. The free press, the only profession that's actually mentioned in the Constitution of the United States, compared to vultures by this unelected jackanapes. This goon in a suit. Vultures. Yeah, I don't know if I like that joke, but there's some resemblance. Oddly enough, vultures are more discriminating than Donald Trump. Vultures, unlike Donald Trump, serve an actual purpose in the life cycle of this planet. Donald Trump, on the other hand, merely breathes in, breathes out, consumes, I guess, a lot of McDonald's food and the occasional New York strip that's been turned into a half sole for a shoe, along with a half a bottle of ketchup, and generally spends his life making a lot of other people's lives miserable. Yeah. Vultures.
We'll retire to Gobbler's Rest at Virginia Tech, great college, where they will be cared for and enjoy a terrific life. This Thanksgiving, we bow our heads in gratitude for the newfound prosperity and spirit that's taking place all across America.
Yeah, this is the campaign rally speech part of the affair. The economic prosperity. Oh, yeah. It's just breaking out all over the place here in central Appalachia. I can tell you that. I mean, all the convenience stores have help wanted signs in their windows.
Country has never been more successful. Our military has been rebuilt.
No, it hasn't.
We captured the number one terrorist in the world and killed the number one terrorist in the world, al-Baghdadi.
Yes, al-Baghdadi.
And I want to thank our military because there's nothing like our military. I want to thank Almighty God for the shedding his grace on our nation.
Things always go south a little bit when he starts getting all theological. That dog yesterday. That dog yesterday shed all over the place, and then it did something besides shed on the Oval Office carpet. God damn it. It shed all over the country.
Our nation is special, and we especially send our love to members of the United States Armed Forces serving all over the world. We're forever thankful for those who wear our nation's uniform and the families who support them. The families are so important. They could never be the same without those great families. Because of their selfless service, millions of our fellow Americans are celebrating another wonderful Thanksgiving.
Yeah, because I guess the ISIS were going to blow up some rubber rafts and row over here and take away all of our turkeys if it weren't for Donald Trump. I know stuff like this is annoying to you. It annoys the shit out of me. But really, do you ever find yourself hearing this blither and just wonder what kind of person hears it and buys into it? Agnes and I had a spirited discussion earlier today when we saw some polling data on the TV that said that 43% of America still supports Donald Trump. And Agnes, and she's not one to just expostulate like this. Agnes says, that's a damn lie. There's no way 43% of this country, I took the contrary position. I said, you want to just jump in the car and run down to the Shell station? We can go anywhere in this county. And I guarantee you it'll be a lot more than 43%. She says, Of course, the hardcore of the cancerous dead enders, the real 200 proof maggots, yeah, they're probably around 33%. But 43%? Well, by the time we get done calling whoever is, by the time they get done calling whoever is the Democratic nominee, the biggest communist since Lenin, well, it makes it kind of easy for that 47 to get up to 49, and the next thing you know, you've got another. Because there's a possibility of a record being broken here. I'm not trying to harsh anybody's mellow, but it could be, if we don't bust our asses, if we don't go like the life of the nation depends upon it, it could be that Julius Geezer there winds up being the first occupant of the Oval Office ever to get two terms doing it without ever having won a majority of the popular vote. Think about how disgusting that is to have somebody like him foisted upon a nation by operation of an anachronistic constitutional mechanism from our days before we ended chattel slavery. That's what's at stake, plain and simple. As Stephen New York points out, he literally fucks everything up. He and his family's entire existence have offered nothing to the people of Earth. He was here, they were here, then they were not. God. By the way, Steve also noted, I'm just going to start referring to melanoma as Lady Zoolander. Now, there's a nice film reference. So is it Le Tigre or Blue? Oh, my God, it's Blue Steel. She turned left. Yeah.
In safety and in peace, and just a very special country, a very special place, the Rose Garden at the White House. If you're looking back here, that's the Oval Office. Some of you haven't been here before.
He's just freestyling now. He's completely off script.
But every time we walk onto the grounds of the White House, we realize how special it is.
Even the time when he referred to it as a dump. Because he did.
So now we reach the moment bread and butter have been waiting for so patiently there.
Fly, my pretties.
Melania and I wish all Americans a very happy and blessed Thanksgiving. We love you all. Butter, let's talk to you for a second, because I'm going to do something that you're going to be very happy about.
They're going to get...
That looks like a dangerous bird.
They're going to... He's going to get close to the bird. That bird is so dosed. You know, turkeys can be kind of aggressive. I remember the time when one chased Agnes across the yard here. Our neighbors had some at the time. Little bastard was mean. Agnes kept threatening to have him for supper. Pardons, says Ron in Raleigh. Thank goodness we didn't have to sit through a speech by the murderous Edward Gallagher, because he does things that Trump was too chicken shit to do. Well, I don't know if that's entirely true, Ron, because after all the killing had been done, a chicken shit like Donald Trump would gladly run up and take a picture with the corpse that everybody else had a hand in, you know, killing. And then he'd of course brag about it. Right.
Wow.
Oh, he's within 3 feet. Oh, he's touched the turkey.
I wish you a lot of luck, but I hereby grant you a full and complete pardon.
What do you put a turkey on when you want it to remain calm? Is there turkey Xanax or turkey Thorazine? Turkey Zine? That's too close to turkey Tetrazini. Then again, that's what Nitwit Nero's having for dinner this evening, turkey Thorazini. Maybe that's how it kept him as calm as he was. Irwin reminds us, a recent meme, we've all seen the First Lady's breasts, but not Trump's tax returns. That's because he cares more about his tax returns than he does her. And those are not breasts, Irwin. Those are kidneys. Remember, she had to go to the hospital to have her kidneys worked on. And when she came out, well, they were busting out. Steve in New York simply says, I'm waiting for him to start doing shadow puppets. Jack in Shreveport says, Trump, Conan. The first thing Trump did is talk about how he thought about putting a muzzle on the freaking dog and how that might make the dog more violent. I know, I didn't share that, but yeah. The other part of it is, you can tell he's been hanging out with the evangelicals, and this is something only somebody like me would maybe notice. Somebody who understands the symbology and the hand jive and everything that goes with the evangelical religion industry movement. In issuing the pardon, he reached out and laid his hand on the turkey as though he were laying on the healing hands of faith. I'm sure, I don't know, Paula White may have suggested that was something that he needed to do. The only thing that would have been better is if the turkey had started going, and there would have been a clip from Jim Baker for tomorrow night swearing up and down that the turkey was speaking in tongues. Very tiny turkey tongues. Sure. Oh, but I mentioned that not so good report came out from the UN about efforts to reduce greenhouse gases and stave off the terrifying effects of climate change. Well, six major scientific review journals today jointly announced a statement condemning a regulation currently under consideration by the Trump regime that would put the brakes on scientific input in developing public policy for environmental and public health. You know, public health crises like what we have here in Central Appalachia, or the public health crises that are developing around areas where frack pads are. The EPA is finalizing the rule right now. And what it would do is it would make sure that EPA rulemakers can only use studies that are based on public data and not data that's behind, say, firewalls of journals. One of the impacts, according to the article by Agence France-Presse, would be to, for instance, keep private health data of individuals from being used in considering environmental rules, and thereby keeping out the effects, for instance, of the ultrafine particles that people in Central Appalachia breathe every time a blast goes off on a mountaintop removal site. The birth defects, the cancers, the various and sundry other cardiopulmonary effects. The editors-in-chief of Science, Nature, PLOS, PNAS, Cell Press, and The Lancet. The Lancet being the widely respected British medical journal. I don't know why the Journal of the American Medical Association isn't here. But the editors wrote, as leaders of peer-reviewed journals, we support open sharing of research data, but we also recognize the validity of scientific studies that, for confidentiality reasons, cannot indiscriminately share absolutely all data. And here's one of the nastier parts of this proposed rule. It is said to be grounded in ideas of transparency, which of course it isn't. It's a great big wet sloppy tongues all the way down to the tonsils kiss to the toxic industries that this regime adores, regardless of their impact on human health, particularly if those industries are in the hydrocarbon business. Well, the rule will become retroactive, meaning that you can't use non-public data to look back at things that have already happened. Those six editors were trying to get out in front of this story, and hence why I'm talking about it right now. Because the EPA hasn't announced a date yet for when they plan to finalize the rule. One of the things that the editors pointed out was that genetic studies had been done. And this is, of course, non-public data. That discovered mutations that led to various diseases. And so going forward, the goal the maggot regime is to gut the very idea of environmental regulation at the same time that they nominally allow the Environmental Protection Agency to pretend to exist. We might want to pay attention to that. Turkey Downers, says Ron in Raleigh. I think they use tryptophan. Kind of a cruel joke, if you ask me. Speaking of Paula White, how is it we're paying a goddamn White House spiritual advisor? Because there are no rules anymore. And there's no way to enforce them, because the president has declared himself above the law, and until such time as the Congress does something, or the judicial branch, or both, to tell him otherwise and be prepared to act otherwise, he gets to do whatever he wants. Sickening and terrifying, I know, but damn, that's just the reality. We were watching TV earlier today when over on MSNBC they tossed to Hans Nichols or somebody like that, who mentioned that they were in lockdown in the Capitol. I mean, this is just, it's bizarre the way these things happen and the way they happen, particularly with regard to this little program. You know, we're all out in front of the curve. So it was yesterday when Ron and Raleigh sent me a link to Popular Mechanics, an article at Popular Mechanics, about the evolution of research into UFOs. Ron noted, it's a subject I don't believe youth believe exists, but a more scientifically critical look at the subject may be in order. And I'm not I am skeptical. I am not dismissive. Let's be clear about that. I am skeptical, not dismissive, about the idea of life from outside this planet, let alone solar system, being able to get here. It's kind of how I feel about God. Although, arguably, if you take into account, for instance, the military pilots who have whose witness has been borne out in recent years, those aren't exactly, you know, nutcases from the History Channel. You know, the dude with the hair. They're quite serious in their professions, and so it seems that more and more often we're seeing stuff. And so Ron and Raleigh yesterday said, I've been looking into the subject since I was a kid in the 50s. There's certainly a lot of bullshit in the UFO world, like the Space Brothers movement. However, I'm not willing to believe that all UFO observers, including three presidents, are nuts or delusional. Boy, howdy, I remember when they treated Dennis Kucinich like he was nuts or delusional when he said he'd seen one. Ho, ho, ho. And he done seed it when he was at Shirley MacLaine's house, and that woman thinks she can talk to the dead. I don't know why that voice sounds like Bill Clinton's redneck uncle, but never mind. I acknowledge that UFO means unidentified flying object. If I see a thing flying through the sky, or across the sky, and I don't know what it is, it is by definition a UFO, at least to me. It's kind of like how every Christian in the world is an agnostic as to every other religion in the world. Every Muslim in the world is an agnostic as to every other religion in the world. An atheist, even, as to every other religion in the world. Yeah, like that. So, is it possible there's some caveat to astrophysics out there that makes it possible for beings to travel across vast interstellar, intergalactic distances to come and take a peep in on us and go, what the fuck is going on there? And then perhaps mercifully decide not to incinerate us? Klaatu, Barada, Nikto, and all of that. Sure, I'll take cards in that game. Well, the reason I mention all of this is when they tossed to Hans Nichols or whomever, he announced that there was a lockdown at the U.S. Capitol and the White House, and that there had been a breach of restricted airspace, and that fighter jets from an Air National Guard unit had been scrambled. Now, why fighter jets from an Air National Guard unit were scrambled instead of, say, jets from the regular Air Force or, hell, even the Navy, well, I don't know that. I don't know why. But NBC News reported that airspace violation reported in Washington, D.C., and fighter jets have been scrambled, and that according to law enforcement, and nothing more than that. I mean, the cops came out, everybody was locked down, the press were made to shelter in place inside the briefing room. Same thing happened over at the Capitol. And then, Fox News TV Radio Rwanda reporter Chad Pergram reported further. And he said, with security incident this morning, Fox has specifically inquired whether Capitol security systems may have been hacked or if this may have been a test by nefarious forces to judge how people may have responded. Fox is told neither of those scenarios were in play. And then he went on to report that security officials said they still were clueless. Some had gotten different versions of events than others. Nobody was even really sure about the location and speed of the aircraft that allegedly violated Washington, D.C. airspace. The hell? I mean, that's just odd. And then this. Officials heard it was hovering and were even given knots, KNOTS, measuring its speed. But they still don't know what it was. One knowledgeable source spoke to reporter Pergram and said, "We don't know what the hell it was. If it was birds, a weather anomaly, a drone, or what?" I told you. I keep telling you. No matter how weird yesterday was, and yesterday was plenty weird, that the next day will be even weirder, and no matter how weird today is, tomorrow will be weirder still. How about nobody actually saw it? And how about it was a mind fuck for everybody there in the White House and the Capitol? Possible? A little bit, maybe? Just a little bit? Yeah, I'm not particularly sanguine about the idea that if there's life out there, that they're going to show up here and say, "Well, look, those Earthlings, they're special. They're doing the best they can. Those curious little jumped-up primates, I mean, they just... We'll just engage in some watchful waiting and..." Wait, they've already developed nuclear technology. Well, we'll just wait some more, and maybe they'll erase themselves from the... Maybe we won't have to do anything, and they'll just take care of the problem for us. Yeah, that's what we'll do. It just gets weirder and weirder and weirder. Steve in New York says, "I think it was Trump's mothership." I only saw the word "mother" in the little précis there in my email. I think it was Trump's mother-in-law. No, Steve says, "I think it was Trump's mothership." Have you ever seen a picture of Mary McLeod Trump? That's a line straight out of the first Men in Black movie. No, Elvis isn't dead. He just went home. Well, remember in Men in Black when they put up this on the screen all the legal aliens on Earth? There's the one lady the third grade teacher who's just screaming her head off and taught Will Smith when he was right. Go look at a picture of Mary McLeod Trump and tell me that there's not every possibility of that woman ain't from around here, when around here is defined as this here planet. Brother Deacon Asa says, regarding the UFO, but then again, Bob, you don't like Ocetra caviar. How objective could your opinion about UFOs be? Listen, I've been straightened up about the good caviar. I've been told that grocery store caviar sucks. Or maybe even little gourmet shop caviar out here in the hinterlands sucks. So I'm trying to maintain an open line or an open mind. You know, get off my ass, Brother Deacon. The Brother Deacon noting that UFO.
It was Pooty.
Hey, maybe they're flying around their new nuclear-powered cruise missile drone vehicle. Who knows? They're just fucking with us. I know. Interesting question coming from Randy in PA. Isn't the failure to remove Trump from office sort of a referendum on the balance of the overall lawyering profession? I would have to disagree with that, Randy. You've got a broad general swath of the fairly talented lawyering silk stocking crowd who acknowledge what the stated settled law is. But settled law doesn't matter to this bunch of thugs. You got to remember something that Nitwit Nero said a little while back.
You know, if we'd had Bill Barr a little bit sooner, this whole Mueller thing might never have happened.
He telegraphed the fact that Barr was brought in for a purpose and that he immediately served that purpose by bringing the Mueller investigation to a premature end. I mean, if it's a referendum on the quality of lawyering, Randy, then the quality of lawyering is pretty damn good. The Democrats keep winning these things. And if they ultimately lose at the Supreme Court, they will not lose on the law. They will not lose on their skill as advocates before the bar. They will lose because the result was a matter of Machiavellian ends-based decision-making. Trump must win. Now we have to figure out how to set it up so Trump wins. If you want an example of that, go and read Bush v. Gore. It would be, at the least, instructive. Meanwhile, James in Illinois says, slow-moving blob. CNN is saying it may have been a flock of birds. If you ask me, it was a distraction from whatever else was happening. That's my point. Really, our radar is so shabby that it can't tell a flock of birds from an aircraft? I mean, I thought our stealth... that's the basis of our stealth technology. We build these umpty bajillion dollar bombers and so forth, and they are designed such that their radar signature is supposed to be so squirrely that they show up on other people's scopes as birds. Reckon Pootie's got some of that technology now? Wherever might he come by that? Oh, and a note from Darlene in Connecticut. Ow! I just dropped something heavy on my left middle toe. I'm wondering if I broke the damn thing. Well, I hope you didn't, Darlene. In any event, Darlene asks, is it my imagination, or is that Orange Sundowning slurring his speech a bit when talking about the turkey? You can't tell anymore. It's hard to tell the difference between him slurring versus him just being illiterate with the teleprompter, like dropping out the in front of Tar Heel State.
These birds were raised in the Tar Heel State.
Only didn't come... It came out,
these birds were raised in Tar Heel State.
Sort of like 2 Corinthians. There's a, you know, there's an organic brain process at work that's not going to end well. Darlene continues and says, I would have loved to have seen any video of those Baltimore kids booing the hell out of Melanoma on her Be Best tour. After all, her hubby referred to them as
living in hell and in a rodent-infested corrupt mess.
Darlene says, yes, I'm switching the phraseology a bit, but fuck it, my toe's still reverberating. And come on, look, I wouldn't necessarily impart the sins of the husband onto Melanoma, but they kind of sort of did that to Madam Secretary, former Senator, former First Lady, in the words of Fiona Hill, Hillary Clinton, when Bill engaged in a bit of, well, sexy time in the Oval Office with Monica Lewinsky, didn't they? Well, yes, they did. Hell, people like Ann Coulter were doing that before they did anything. Long before we ever heard of Monica Lewinsky, the oxymoron, Flush Flimball, was, and he wore this thing out. My friends, did you hear about the Hillary Clinton special at Kentucky Fried Chicken? Yeah, it's 2 small breasts and a left wing. Ha ha! Darlene says, just saying. And regarding Trump and animals, don't forget the bald eagle that they brought into his disheveled work office and how that bird completely lashed out and attacked the motherfucker. If that isn't symbolic, and I thought, I referenced that. If that isn't symbolic, then I don't know what the hell is. That bird hated Trump's guts, and there are tons of GIFs to prove it. And download for your viewing pleasure. Pleasure. That eagle deserves a Congressional Medal of Honor.
Of course, it's kind of kin to the vulture.
Darlene continues and says, are you shitting me? I saw the WAPO headline about the unresponsive aircraft and that the White House and Capitol were evac'd and they scrambled fighter jets, but after that I could not find follow-up reports. I texted my sister within seconds after seeing the report, warning her that there was a 9/11-type situation happening in D.C. She couldn't find anything either, so it went down the memory hole fast because it was a UFO. That's kind of serious when they scramble jets like that on our dime with no reasonable explanation as to why. Emphasis on the word reasonable. They're still working up the story. Maybe by tomorrow morning, we'll be told that it was Ukrainians. As to the quality of lawyering question that Randy in PA asked, Steve in New York says, we are officers of the court, the judiciary. It's the quality of the political branches that are in question. True that. Didn't know that. Randy reminds us, but during the Balkan intervention, it was revealed that when the bomb bay door is open on a stealth bomber, it shows up on radar just like any regular jet. Well, that had to kind of piss off the engineers and the designers. Sheesh. And we have reached, we've gotten past the top of the hour on this Titanic Tuesday. So we'd probably best check in with Brad and Desi and see what they've got for us. maybe a little expansion on what I was talking about earlier. They'll be off on Thursday, and I always enjoy the Green News Report, so, well, I'm going to sit here and listen to it, and gosh, let's all do that. This is The Horn.
It's Tuesday, November 26, 2019.
Leading the world in resolving the climate crisis will be a multi-decade project.
We're facing the great existential crisis of our time.
This is not a Democrat issue or Republican issue.
We take on the biggest challenge in history. We save the world and we do it together.
Climate change finds its way into the latest Democratic debate. As greenhouse gas concentrations reach record highs, with 2019 now the wettest year on record for the lower 48. Plus,
the Oxford word of the year is
climate emergency. The words heard round the world.
All of those emergencies and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
The fossil fuel industry is probably criminally liable because they have lied and lied and lied.
Have they lied, Bernie?
They have lied and lied and lied.
That's what I hear. This is your Green News Report.
And lied.
Okay, Desi Doyen, well, our climate emergency didn't only make its way into the Democratic presidential debate recently, it's also made its way into the Oxford Dictionary?
Yes, climate emergency is the Oxford Dictionary's word of the year for 2019. Of course, it's really two words, but who's counting? According to the dictionary's data, usage of climate emergency soared nearly 11,000% over the last year, which they say demonstrates a major shift in the way we talk about climate change.
Well, that may be good news, although looking back at the previous words of the year in 2018, the word was toxic.
Yep.
Well, that's held up pretty well. But 2017, youthquake?
What?
Really? Yeah, that's what it is. And in 2016, post-truth. Well, that one is definitely held up.
Oh, most definitely. But there is some good news. If you're faced with relatives over the holidays who question climate science, let them know that new research this week finds that among the more than 11,000 peer-reviewed papers that were published in 2019, there was 100% consensus about the reality that human activity is causing climate change.
I think we need more study.
The bad news, however, is that concentrations of key climate-warming greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, like carbon dioxide and methane, have now hit record highs and actually jumped above the average of the last 10 years. That's according to a new report from the United Nations World Meteorological Organization on Monday. The WMO said in a statement, quote, "There is no sign of a slowdown despite all of the commitments under the Paris Agreement on climate change." The WMO also notes that the last time atmospheric CO2 levels were this high was 3 million years ago. Humans didn't exist. The planet was 5 degrees Fahrenheit hotter, and sea levels were 30 to 65 feet higher than today.
Sounds nice.
And man-made global warming has consequences today. 2019 was officially the wettest year on record in the continental United States. Extensive flooding throughout the Midwest this past spring delayed or prevented many farmers from planting at all and hindered their harvests. Climate change intensified extreme flooding, plus President Trump's voluntary tariff trade war with China were a 1-2 punch requiring a taxpayer bailout for U.S. farmers.
And that bailout, for the record, was twice as large as the auto bailout back in 2008.
Meanwhile, the latest Keystone Pipeline oil spill in North Dakota back in October was actually 10 times bigger than the pipeline owner, TC Energy, originally reported.
Knocked me over with a feather.
This spill was on the existing original Keystone pipeline, not the controversial proposed Keystone XL. It spilled more than 300,000 gallons of sticky tar sands oil over more than 5 acres of crucial wetlands. It was the second large spill on the original Keystone in just the last 2 years.
Well, by all means, let's get that Keystone XL up and running.
In politics, billionaire and former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg has officially entered the race for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination. Bloomberg has donated hundreds of millions of dollars to environmental actions, like the Sierra Club's Beyond Carbon campaign. But Bloomberg so far has panned progressive climate policies like the Green New Deal.
Thanks for nothing.
Finally, because of the impeachment hearings, we didn't get to cover the most recent Democratic debate held in Atlanta. A climate change question was asked.
What?
So that is an improvement. But the time allotted was really not equal to the scale of the challenge, and only a few candidates were allowed to speak. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders was the only one who spoke of holding fossil fuel companies criminally liable for lying about their role in climate change. And South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg called for incentivizing farmers to capture emissions with innovative, regenerative agriculture techniques.
American farming should be one of the key pillars of how we combat climate change. I believe that the quest for the carbon negative farm could be as big a symbol of dealing with climate change as the electric car in this country.
They actually, even though it was a very short time, very late in the debate, had quite a substantive conversation for a change.
Yeah, it was neat.
We'll see if that neatness continues in the debates ahead. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
There's a big fire burning, but don't be alarmed.
Really, Brad? Really, Desi? That's the bump. Oh, dear. Oh, mercy sakes. So here we are into the second hour of the program, all the programs this week, except perhaps, well, no, except tonight and tomorrow, two-hour programs. And then Thursday, we're going to have a full program, a Thanksgiving on the Front Porch Tryptophan Edition. As we all get, we're probably all going to be running. Well, I won't be, because we're not going to do our Thanksgiving dinner until Saturday. That gives me all the time I need to bake the biscuits and the cornbread out on the acorn and get everything going for the dressing. And hopefully, the weather will be considerably better Saturday. No, rain on Saturday. And maybe it'll change. We'll cross our fingers. But anyway, we'll do our dinner on Saturday, and we will have a Thanksgiving on the Front Porch on Thursday, full program time. And then it's still a game time decision as to whether I'm covering for Malloy on Friday or whether Mike will be back behind the microphone. If Mike's back behind the microphone, then we'll have a full Friday on the Front Porch. Let's say Friday on the Front Porch, turkey and mayo sandwich edition, because we'll all be deep into the leftovers by then, one hopes. Okay. And a reminder, I don't know if it was the heel and hands of faith or what, but the stress line is working nicely of late and staying connected to the Bluetooth. Who knows why, but it is. So if you want to engage in some conversation this evening, you're more than welcome so to do. You know how to reach the program. If you want to get in on the stress line, it's 844-THE-HORN, 844-843-4676. 844-THE-HORN. And, of course, the other line, either 304-574-8178 or Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. BobKincaidHorn. I realize there are a lot of little details you got to do, and if you're new to the program and you always wanted to, see if you try your hand at calling a radio program, and you're not a maggot or a right winger or a Republican, well, you're welcome. Jump right into the conversation, and if you can't talk here, you can't talk, because remember, this is conversation radio, and we don't just run people off after they say busted knuckle, mega dittos from busted knuckles, Bob. No. So anyway, the phone lines are open. And I'm checking the email real quickly, Randy in PA says, we're about the politicians and the quality of lawyering. Yeah, but most of the politicians are lawyers. That's not really necessarily salient to the issue because the processes themselves are political. The impeachment process is, by dint of the very words of the framers themselves, not a criminal process, not even technically a full formal legal process, but instead a political process, which makes it especially funny now that video has been dredged up of Mike Pencilneck Geek back when he and his helmet hard hair were still just a shitty little pissant congressman from Talibandiana, and he was opining in 2008 about, you know, that commie Kenyan Muslim in our White House, about how he Mike Pencilneck Geek had done looked into the impeachment process, and he declared with cameras running and microphones taking up audio and everything, he declared, of course, impeachment is not meant to be a political process. Horse shit. Go to the Federalist Papers. It is expressly a political process. It's not an electoral process. It's not a criminal process. It's not a civil tort process. It is not an extraordinary remedy process, an equity process. It is a political process. And, you know, just because one is a lawyer does not mean that the political process is somehow lawyerly. I mean, the Republicans have a shit ton of medical doctors, and I don't see any. I don't see any medical science-y kind of inquiry based behavior on the part of the Republicans either. No, it's politics, pure politics. And if in fact, as I said, old Balls and Strikes Roberts and Sammy shoot him in the back of the head, Bad Breath Alito, and Ann's boy Neil, and Brat Kavanaugh, and Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas, if they all agree that Trump should never have to show his tax returns, or that subpoenas should not have to be honored, these will not be legal decisions. We need to get that all the way down to our toenails. They will not be legal decisions. What they will be, however, is purely partisan political decisions. Again, for an excellent example of such, see Bush v. Gore. Okay. Just a couple of funnies because it's Titanic Tuesday, a couple of manifestations of Titanic intellect. I give you our little nutmeg, Meghan McCain, who apparently is terribly, terribly butthurt because people are giving her shit for continuing to stand up for Lindsey Graham, even as Lindsey Graham defecates all over the oath that he took to the Constitution of the United States. She tweeted earlier, I literally grew up with Lindsey Graham, who I've always considered an uncle. We never have agreed on everything, and do not now. I refuse to let politics destroy my personal relationships across the board. I love him very much and always will. Please stop judging me about it. Oh, somebody get her a box of Kleenex. Get off the cross, Nutmeg. We need the wood. Please stop judging me about it. Well, what are we supposed to think when she continues to stand by a person who has been openly and plainly shown to be a monumental hypocrite. And that's even before you get to the part where he's shitting all over the Constitution. I read that tweet and it immediately made me think of something. Sometimes in a situation such as this, we can understand it better if we take out, say, Lindsey Graham's name and insert another. And I had a particular name in mind. Let's read it with that different name in it. I literally grew up with Vidcun Quisling, who have always considered an uncle. We never have agreed on everything and do not now. I refuse to let politics destroy my personal relationships across the board. I love him very much and always will. Please stop judging me about it. Vidcun Quisling. A man so odious, whose behavior was so sickening, that we no longer even use a capital Q for his last name. I think was it Shakespeare who said his, not of Quisling, but of someone else, he has become a name for being put upon. Is that Shakespeare? Quisling. Quisling is a term, according to Merriam-Webster, is a term for a traitor, a collaborator. Merriam-Webster lists synonyms for Quisling, such as apostate, backstabber, betrayer, double-crosser, double-dealer, Judas, recreant, serpent, snake, traitor, turncoat. And Vidkun Quisling, in 1933, founded the Fascist Party in Norway. Hi, Norwegian members of the Horn Family Community Congregation. 6 years later, he was having a little sit-down tete-a-tete with Adolf, in which he said, you know, you need to come on up and occupy my country. So the Germans invaded Norway in 1940. And lo and behold, Vidkun Quisling was set up as the head of the puppet government. And then people like Winston Churchill and George Orwell and H.G. Wells began to use his name as a substitute for traitor in their writings. As should always be the case with traitors, ultimately he was executed. He was executed for treason after the liberation of Norway in 1945. I literally grew up with Vidkun Quisling, who I've always considered an uncle, because that's exactly what Lindsey Graham is. He is a Quisling. At this point in time, there can be no question. Now, Grandpa Joe is too nice a guy to ever use that, but we can, especially because we know us some history. Let's use it in a sentence. Lindsey Graham, who once tried to warn America about the dangers of Donald Trump, decided to involve himself more intimately with Trump and thus became a Quisling to his own country. Or how about, according to Merriam-Webster, this quote from Vanity Fair? Graydon Carter on Trump's constitutional crisis, Ruski Gate, and the worst first 100 days in presidential history, 18 May 2017. The Republican rank and file, or at least the more aware ones, that's excluding quislings like Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, are already eyeing the exits. An article about the exodus of Republicans from any desire to seek re-election in the 2018 midterms. Again, we can do a little global search and replace there. The Republican rank and file, or at least the more aware ones, that's excluding quislings like Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Judiciary Chairman Lindsey Graham, are already eyeing the exits. Yep, I think it works. But because she's not that particularly bright, our little nutmeg doesn't realize that what people are judging her about is the fact that she continues to associate herself with a known quisling in the form of Lindsey Graham. Precious Lindsey Graham. No, I didn't. Darlene asks, did you see Chelsea Handler's tweet to Meghan McCain the other day about how Lindsey Graham is acting more unstable since the death of her father, John McCain? If that doesn't get through to Meghan McCain, nothing will. And Chelsea was being pretty tame and gentle in an attempt to get through to Nutmeg that Lindsey is on the run from the Russians. They got something on him. Well, that's probably when somebody with as much of a following as Chelsea Handler tweets at Meghan McCain, that's probably what caused her yesterday to issue this, please stop judging me about it. Oh, cry me a river, Nutmeg. Let's run over to the phone, to the stress line, and see who's with us. Hey, welcome to the program.
I hope you can hear me. I know I'm on the speakerphone. This is Lady B.
Lady B, you're awesome. I got you loud and clear.
This is a glorious car. This is a 2019 Nissan Altima. And my car broke down, and so my twin rented this for me. So I'm saying all of this because I had to drive to Denver to get it.
Oh, what a day to have to do that.
It is an absolute nightmare. Denver, I-25 up to Monument, gorgeous. Once we hit the springs, it was like, you know, I know we're a small town, but technically we're also a city. And I cannot believe the mess on I-25.
It's a nightmare. I mean, that's what I've seen all day.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's just one of those freak things that seem to happen a lot here. But it'll all be gone by Friday, so it doesn't really matter, I think. I mean, at least it will be defrosted by then, or most of it melted, I should say. But I won't be long. I actually found out I still have to fucking go to work. So I'm headed from Denver to work.
Oh, beautiful.
And, yeah, where I clean called off. They called off. But my company says, no, sweetheart, you sweet summer child, no. Because you clean buildings. And when you clean buildings, you're expected to do more than most people. But anyway, I just thought I would call you because I have this really nice setup.
Oh, the Altima is a great ride.
Yeah. Oh, God, these tires are beautiful. They're like Velcro. I mean, I cannot believe how well they so.
Well, I've got a solid wood table over here, and I'm knocking it. So you don't jinx yourself.
Yes, because no. My twin actually bought the extra package. You know, she's not rich, but she's a nurse. She's been a nurse for 20 years. And she's very good with her money, which is great because, as you know, as a disc jockey, you've got to have the stable financial aspect of your life.
Oh, yes.
So she's been incredible. She's been incredible about this whole thing. But my car will be in the shop for about a week, and it's going to be about $1,000.
Oh, no.
Dude, this is where the Lord watches out for babies and fools. Because, honest to God, what would I do without? I would be nothing. You know, to just be this fortunate to have somebody who will bail my dumb ass out every time I find myself in a stupid situation.
Well, but this is not a hell of your own making, is it?
Well, you know, I think I've told you in all my long missives and emails that I suffer from PTSD.
Sure.
Which in a way is almost, it's like bipolar, except you know, it's not like you're doing 2 or 3 days where you're on a really big high and then you know, it's anxiety. It's like, I can't describe it. Maybe they're similar. I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
I understand. I've been through anxiety disorder, and it is brutal.
It makes no sense. You know, it makes no sense.
No, but it'll make you think you're about to die, and at that point in time, you're not curious about whether it makes sense or not. You're curious about whether or not you're about to die.
You totally give in to that feeling, which is irrational, because you know better. But you feel helpless. But the thing I think what made mine so worse, or so much worse, was that I was only diagnosed 3 years ago, and I'm 50 years old. So you can imagine getting 100 diagnoses, and then finally somebody's like, "Oh, this is what's wrong." And then once you have it, you can put it in perspective better, and you can say, okay, I get it. I get it.
And you can begin to work on coping technologies or coping techniques.
Absolutely. So that's what I've been working on with my therapist. And, of course, you know, I'm always singing the praise about edibles and weed, but I honestly think it has helped me. I mean, because you're already living in a crazy fantasy land anyway.
Yeah.
At least with the weed, you kind of focus. You're in the moment.
Well, in your case, at least, Lady B, one of the best things you've got going for you is the fact that you're in a legal state, and so you can feel a relatively high degree of confidence about the product you're buying.
Oh, gotcha.
You know,
yes.
Here where we are, I mean, I never worried about it. You know, back when it was a matter of going and knocking on a dude's door and, you know, getting a bag. I never worried about that back then.
Mm-hmm.
But now, in this era, you have to. Because...
Dude, I remember when...
Go ahead.
Oh. No, I was just saying with Spice, we were not quite legal then. I don't know what we were, between medical or whatever. But I remember that K2, they called it, and Spice. Basically, it was like, I don't know, oregano sprayed with THC. I tried it a couple of times. It didn't do anything for me. But, you know, there were different people that were desperate to get that high. And so they did. Luckily, it didn't turn into epidemic proportions here, but it easily could have. Because we were desperate, and just a bunch of decent people. I don't know if they were smart or dumb or what, but they were decent. And they said, let's legalize this. We've got a lot of soldiers. We've got a lot of people with issues. You know, it can't be any worse than what we're dealing with. So.
No. And on the other hand here, you can get anything. I read a report earlier today about, with the vaping, they've identified, vitamin E acetate as the culprit in a lot of vaping injuries and some deaths.
Yeah.
And almost uniformly, they're in black market THC cartridges.
That's the crazy, sad thing about capitalism. I vaped for a little bit because, well, it doesn't have smell. You know, you don't want to smell like weed. It doesn't matter that it's legal. You don't go into your job smelling like weed. And then, I mean, I don't think we've had too big of a scare here. I think we've had a couple of cases. But when you get it in your head that something is dangerous, your body starts to follow. So I would notice that my hips would be a little harsher. I would notice, you know, my throat was a little sore. And I just said, you know, I'm going to back off of this while the getting's good. So right now I'm doing the actual plant or what we call flower at night. But, you know, when I go home, when I go to bed. But when I'm at work, I use edibles. Edibles are okay, gummies, things like that. But I don't like the whole sugar thing behind it. I'm not diabetic, but I don't want to be. But, you know, the whole candy, let's put it in Pop-Tarts and let's put it in Reese's Cups and let's, you know. And I'm like, again, you're kind of taking the medicinal aspect of it. I mean, it's easier to medical condition with edibles, but at the same time, it has an appeal to kids. And I've talked a lot about my nieces and nephews. It has an
Let me ask you a question while I do have you. We speak so seldom. It's mostly by email. Your email about the Double Fantasy, the album over the weekend, just blew me away.
It
spoke so deeply to the old DJ in me because, you know, I was working at the Gospel Voice when John Lennon got shot. Yeah. They sent like 7 bells and one, you know, 3 more would have been a nuclear alert. But anyway, you do live in a legal state, and I was talking to a guy here who was telling me, because we were talking about my whole trigger finger thing and that cortisone injection that I got, we were talking about that, and he was telling me that, you know, he's got terrible rheumatoid arthritis in his hands, and he said his buddy provides him for around here, wildly illegal THC-based joint cream, muscle ointment, joint cream. I didn't do that on purpose.
You'll be here all night.
Don't try the veal. Don't forget to tip your server either. But he said he tried it.
Try the waitress, tip the server. What is that?
Yeah.
Try the server, tip the waitress, or something. I can't remember. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. The THC oil. Yeah.
Try the server, skip the veal. But anyway, he said he used this stuff on his hands, and he said all of a sudden it was like he didn't have arthritis anymore. Have you had occasion? Have you had occasion to try that stuff?
Yeah. Not the oil, but this is what I learned from.
This was like an ointment.
Okay, I haven't heard of that yet. Some people make that stuff in their garage, and they slap. And some of them are very good at it because they've been growing and smoking weed for 20, 30, 40 years. So I don't doubt that it's a legitimate product and it works. What I will say to kind of actually add to that is the fact that a couple of years ago I had a physical therapist and we were talking about painkillers. I don't like opiates. I'm supposed to be doing Motrin and ibuprofen for my various muscle pains. It scares me. I don't want to mess up my stomach. I don't want to mess up my liver or my kidneys. I don't want to do that. But he told me the thing about an opioid is that it makes you forget. It doesn't cure what's wrong with you. It makes you forget. That's why THC is such an interesting thing. If the goal is to forget the pain so you can relax enough that you're not stressing and tensing up those muscles, then it's very effective in that regard. When you look at products like CBD, which is supposedly the healing component of THC, if you're stripping it down to something that's, less illegal, I think it affects its usefulness. I think you have to have a little THC in there. You have to have that little psychoactive component, because that's kind of what helps you forget the pain. So in that sense, CBD oil is not... Some people have tried it, and they're like, are you kidding? This is a joke.
Well, I get it. I'm asking, again, because you live in a legal state, and I thought you might have a little bit more expertise. I've tried CBD cream, CBD ointment on my neck, because my neck is a wreck. I mean, and yeah, next thing you know, I'll be freestyling.
There you go. But, all right, drop the mic.
Yeah, I can't. It's hanging on a boom, Lady B. You know that.
Is that an Audio Technica boom, or what kind of boom is that?
I don't know what kind of boom it is, but the mic of choice at this point in time is an RE20.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's what we've been using for the last 15 years. But I tried the CBD ointment on my neck and bupkis.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are telling me that there's a profound difference to be had. And I mean, does the TA, and I don't know. I mean, we got buddies like Scary Jerry in Florida and Ken out in Hawaii. Does a THC ointment transit the skin and you still get high from rubbing it on your skin? I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I mean, if you're thinking of the CBD properties that are supposed to be rubbed on the skin and heal it, then why not that?
Well, I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking. There's so much for so long, because it's listed as a fucking Schedule I narcotic.
Yeah.
That means you can't do research on it.
Yeah.
And there's so much. Oh, it's dumber than the head and the hog is in the ass, Lady B.
I mean, we can sell this shit, but we can't test it. That doesn't make it. It's like selling a car and not knowing whether or not it's going to break. Why are we allowed to do stupid shit? Like, I mean, to be able to, you know, use the brakes.
Right.
Why are we allowed to do that in America? Why are we allowed to just fucking half-ass do stuff just because it makes great money?
Capitalism.
We half-ass
capitalism.
Everything. You know, it's stupid. We always separate things and try to make money off of the separate parts instead of just offering it as one fucking service. You know, you get cable, but you got to pay separate for the DVR box.
Right, and when you get the cable, you're paying whatever percentage of the bill is. You're paying for the right to never watch the Electric Jesus channels.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, I know. I'm sorry, I'm dripped off topic here, and I have to go. But you were mentioning something earlier. You always have such wonderful topics, and I'm meant to contribute to it in a positive way, but I have forgotten completely because I can't believe I've got to fucking go to work. And I'm sorry, I have a salty tongue, you guys. If you know me in person, you
know. Oh, please, don't even apologize.
I am awful. But anyway, listen, I think, why not? If your friend has some that they can offer you, absolutely. You know, and you trust that it's made well, it's quality product. But the thing is, of course, make sure that, I mean, unless you got a high tolerance for it, make sure you're not on the air or doing anything that requires concentration and focus. Although for me, because of my PTSD, I actually get crazy focus. But some human beings are not built the same way as others. But really, man, try it. Just make sure you're in a safe place, man, that you're surrounded by friends, that, and remember that you are on planet Earth, and that, you know, you are fully, you know, you're a human being. That's the thing I have to tell you. So.
And that's solid advice.
I just don't want you to, like, drift off into, you know, whatever, start staring at your hand for, like, 2 hours.
Well, even before I begin the process of trying to find this stuff, I do need to answer that question, because there's not an hour of the day that my neck doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
And apparently I'm a stronger person than, say, Flush Flimball is, because his neck was screwed up, and the next thing you know, he's putting $10,000 in a cigar box for the help to take out and bring him back $10,000 worth of street oxy. Yeah, I'm not
okay.
There.
Well, let me ask you this.
I'm not there.
Let
yet.
Me ask you this. You read a lot, right? Do you read in bed or no?
Oh yeah.
Okay, I read in bed a lot too. One of the things that my physical therapist had me do, and it's crazy. I have to put my head flat on a pillow, maybe one pillow, and then I have to pile a couple of pillows on my chest and then read looking up. She said it's the motion of looking down all the time, craning the neck. I'm just saying, it actually works.
I'll be damned. I'll try
also
that.
She said, yeah, and she said, make sure that you also, if you have room in the bed, support for if you have any arm or shoulder issues, support for each arm and just a pillow, you know, maybe you can rest on Agnes on your left side and whatever, you know, but try it, you know, get adjusted, get comfortable enough with it. It's awkward at first, but once you start doing it and you know how much better you feel, it ain't nothing. No. But anyway, God bless you all. Jim, darling, you and I are both queens, and I will love you. I love you. Gosh, Tracy, Todd, Rod, everybody, incredible. Your lawyers, man, Billable Rick and Steve and the other Steve and you, the Steves and the sorority of Lean and my girl Tracy. You guys are amazing. I love you all. Just take it easy.
Oh, you just put just great big giant grins on a whole bunch of faces, Lady B.
Everybody, all of you. Just because I didn't mention your name doesn't mean I don't know you and love you. I've got to go. I've got to go.
Yeah, they're going to make you work.
Bob, you're amazing. You really, I wrote this. You never read it, but aloud, but incredible intellect. Impressive. You make me believe in decency. You make me believe that there truly are people out there. And it's amazing. It's touching sometimes. And I really feel like I've finally found the people that I need to know and be associated with.
That's a beautiful thing, Lady B. And it's an affirmation for a community that's been working at it for, and I'm not just talking about me, but a whole community that's been plugging away for north of 15 years. And it's affirmation and it's validation. And I can't thank you enough for such kind words.
It's amazing, dude. Mike turned me on to you, and wow. Okay? I got to go.
All right.
Love you, Bob. Thank you so much.
Happy
you
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Yes, happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy yourself, you guys. All right. Take
Get home
care.
Safely.
Love, peace. Oh, all right, player. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Thanks a lot, man.
Bye now. The inimitable, the one and only Lady B. We don't hear from her terribly often, but by golly, when she calls in, she brings her A game. Rusty writes in and says, subject line, hands. Well said, Lady B. I stare at my hands a lot. Yeah. And Billable Rick, Lady B, loved your call. What a rare pre-Thanksgiving treat to hear you. Be careful driving through the snow on the Front Range. Watch out for that black ice. We need your voice. Why's the ice got to be black, Rick? Come on, man. But yeah, watch out for that. But that it sounds like that Altima's pretty sure-footed. And I love those cars. They're really great automobiles. Unlike most mid-sized sedans, one of the nice things about the Altima is that it tends to come, I think it still does, it still has included with it an inordinately large fuel tank for a car of that size. So you can tank that thing up. And just as a for instance, I could tank it up here and drive it all the way to the Gulf Coast and not stop for gas or get very close to it. You know, at about 32, 33 miles a gallon. And, I mean, it's huge for that class. Maybe not all the way to the Gulf Coast, but awfully damn near. And you know how it is with me. I think a lot about the Gulf Coast. Just, that's where my soul hangs out. Jim says regards to Lady B. I know Jim just adores her. And some answers coming in. Oh, and Tracy says, oh, yeah. Hi, Lady B. Love you so much. This is what makes this community so absolutely magnificent. But, yeah, thank you very kindly to Jude out in the great Northwest. She says the THC ointment, there's a something she knows of called Dragon Balm. And she said it enters the system transdermally, absorbed by the largest organ of the body, namely our skin. Jude has experience along these lines and says hospice uses this route of administration. And Tracy adds, you don't exactly get high, but on the other hand, you will test dirty. Well, that's one of the nice things about being me. There's nobody out there saying, hey, Bob, go pee for us. Because y'all make it possible and for me not to be standing anywhere saying, welcome to Costco, I love you. Although I admit, if I ever did have to do that, I would do it in Trump's voice.
Welcome to Costco, I love you.
I wonder how many Costco workers actually do that. And there it is. There's an exemplar of it, courtesy of Sparky. CBD Medic products, CBD Medic, 40-gram back and neck relief, contains the most product. And that's the question. I didn't get anywhere with the CBD. What everybody I've talked to said, no. I mean, people who live in, like, medicinal states and legal states, no. You want the stuff with the full THC in it. So I don't know. Jim says, indeed I do, Bob. I know. Jim sends a lot of notes about, he's always most solicitous of Lady B's missives to the program. Meanwhile, courtesy of Billable Rick, Bob, stop telling us what color to call the ice. God damn it. Of course. But seriously, says Billable Rick, the clear ice on the dark road is the most dangerous variety, as you can't tell you've hit it until it's too late. I once hit some on a freeway going 60 miles an hour, did a complete 360, and then continued on my way. Thank the goddess. Well, really, was it that seamless, Billable Rick? Because I'm thinking if I'm doing 60 and then I'm doing a 360, I'm going to have to pull off the road somewhere along the way and just sort of take a breather and make sure that it... Yeah. And some breaking news. That Sparky shared with me along the way just a few minutes ago. This is quite the moment. You remember how Rudy said he had himself an insurance policy? Rudy's been saying a lot of goofy shit. TMZ caught up with him the other day, and we got this. He was in an airport somewhere. And so they asked him, you know, how is he feeling about it all?
Are you worried that you could end up in jail from any of this stuff, or no?
Mr. Giuliani.
Me ending up in jail? 50 years of being a lawyer. 50 years of ethical, dedicated practice of law. Probably have prosecuted more criminals at a high level of any U.S. attorney in history. I think I follow the law very carefully. And I think the people pursuing me are desperate, sad, angry, disappointing liars. And they're hurting their country, and I'm ashamed of them.
So you still have...
I know there was a screaming kid in the background at the airport there. But those words matter a little bit. The words that he used in particular. The people pursuing me are desperate, sad, angry, disappointing liars. But this is the tell. And they're hurting their country. Presuming that the people he's describing as desperate, sad, and angry, and disappointing liars are Americans, and really there's not a lot of international journalism that's going on about Rudy Giuliani. The vast majority of the reporting of his bizarre behavior, his lies, his absolutely bonkers TV interviews and the like, well, that's coming from American media. And if that's the case, then they're hurting their country? Well, which country do you feel like you're a part of, Rudy? If their country is the United States of America, well, Rudy, what's your country? But Rudy says he's got insurance. It may be time. He may need it now. Because lo and behold, Nitwit Nero sat down with the guy that used to be at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. You remember. The guy who wanted to rub down a young female with a falafel because he was so shwasted that he couldn't remember the word loofah. The guy who had to have millions of dollars paid out on his behalf for all of his instances of sexual harassment. I'm talking, of course, about Bill Fuck It, We'll Do It Live O'Reilly. Well, Nitwit Nero sat down with Bill O. And O'Reilly asked him if he, Venerial Vespasian, directed Rudy Giuliani to go to Ukraine and try to get people to tell lies about the Bidens. Now, bear in mind that Rudy Giuliani, for instance, on November the 6th of this year, at 3:43 p.m., tweeted, "The investigation I conducted concerning 2016 Ukrainian collusion and corruption was done solely as a defense attorney to defend my client against false charges that kept changing as one after another were disproven." By my client, he meant Donald Trump. Well, asked by Bill O, Nitwit Nero wasted no time in sending Rudy under the conveyance to examine the undercarriage.
"No, I didn't direct him, but he's a warrior. He's a warrior."
So when Bill O followed up by saying, "Well, what was he doing in Ukraine?" Then,
"Well, you'd have to ask that to Rudy. Rudy has other clients other than me. He's done a lot of work in Ukraine over the years."
Might be time. Might be time for the rude man to haul out that insurance policy that he says he has. James in Illinois. "Rudy the Patriot, the last refuge of a scoundrel." Well, there's that. But why is it their country and not our country? As to the screaming kid in the background of the Rudy clip, Lee in New York says, "Was the sound of the screaming child Giuliani's conscience?" Arthur, on the other hand, says, "Giuliani makes children spontaneously burst into tears. Must be that whole Nosferatu air." P.S. Stop having great callers, Bob. Well, that's a two-jangle email. Must be getting generous because it's the holiday season. On the other hand, Billable Rick says, is that kid in the background saying Giuliani is a bad guy? Like the kid said about Trump during the 2016 Republican debates? Well, yeah. And the Bob Stop Telling Us continues with Billable Rick. Bob, stop telling us when to pull over. It's for wimps. He says, I really did continue on my way after doing the 360, but did take my foot off the gas during the spin. It was one of those isolated patches of ice in a late Iowa winter. And that's what, not in the depth of things when the stuff's really flying. It's in those boundary, those meteorological boundary periods when you get stuff like that ice, and nobody can drive on ice. But anyway, here we are. We are at the end of the 2 hours. It's time to wrap up the program because I got to turn everything around, get the upload done and all that stuff so that I can cover for sit in for Mike Malloy here in about an hour. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to all of our subscribers, and thanks to all of our a la carte contributors. You're the ones who make this possible. Thank you so much. Thanks for sharing your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.